Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prinzing Show. It's that time again. It is Wednesday, Colorado time, 4 to 4:30 is when we have the Prinzing Show. And my guest today is also from Colorado, which is sort of unusual since I've had guests from all over the United States and Canada. And even more unusual is my guest does some very similar work that I do. I would say that we both are intuitives in a sense. That's the new phraseology of today that I just made up. And my show, of course, fits exactly with what, of course, I do, which is a no-brainer, but very much fits with what my guest does. Her name is Kate. I will introduce her more in a minute and give her the floor in just a few seconds to see how she can help people in her intuitive gifts and how I can and how the two of us are similar and perhaps how we are not similar. So again, it is 4 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. It is the Prinzing Show. And for those of you who haven't heard the running joke, it's not the Prinzing Show. As soon as I say it to people, they think I'm in the newspaper business. Prinzing is actually my last name, and it's unusual, which is why I used it. I also had a guest on last week who was really very specialist in his field. He was an automated marketing specialist and back-end expert for marketing, and he confirmed that the use of the Prinzing Show and the use of my business name, the Prinzing Method, was in fact the greatest marketing thing he had heard about. And it was an accident because it just happened to be my name and it was unique, which does fit in marketing niches. So as you know, the Prinzing Show is here to promote small business, to help people in business, and to give a platform to have a bit of a discussion about what people do, how they are helping people. And the second subtitle to the Prinzing Show is that we are also here to spread good news. So I'm glad to be here because the rest of the news, in my mind, sucks. So we're here to make up good news. If we don't have any, we will just absolutely make it up as we go along. So let me tell you a little bit more about Kate. Her name is Kate. Oh, that's the dog, by the way. If you hear the squeaky toy, that's Puff Prinzing, my co-host. With her squeaky toy for the radio show. She likes to do her intro with the squeaky toys and do roly-polies. Okay, so Kate, her last name, I love her last name. I want to say en français. Her last name is French to me, and perhaps to other people it might be French. Her last name is De La Grange. How about that for a little accent? There you go. And I think it's interesting that her name means of the land. So we'll see if that has anything to do with what she does. She also has a master's degree, as I do. My master's is in body psychology from Naropa University. And Kate also has a master's degree. She also went to Naropa University here in Boulder. How about that? Her master's degree is in holistic psychology, and we'll see how those intertwine. So again, there's another commonality that we have. And there goes the mini hat kind of person, as well as myself. She is a coach, a healer, a shaman, a psychic, and a spiritual teacher. She also offers apprenticeship programs and equine facilitated learning. Another commonality is I worked a lot with horses and equine facilitated therapy with both physical therapists and occupational therapists, and of course me being a body psychologist or somatic therapist, I fit right in there. So we also have a love of horses, it sounds like. One last thing before I introduce and bring Kate on here is that I love what she said here on one of her websites. Is she said, ask yourself, are you on a spirit walk? So let's find out, without further ado, let's let Kate come on and let's see what the heck that means. If we answer yes or no, or maybe we answer we have no idea what you're talking about. So welcome to the show, Kate. Can you hear us? We're on a delay, however. I'm going to keep babbling because my, oh, there. Are you there? Are you there, Kate? Hello, hello, hello. Okay, looks like her call has dropped, so we'll wait until she calls back in. Yeah, it looks like it might have dropped. She was here for a second, but maybe had an intuition episode of something. This has happened once before on the show, and the last time it was very exciting. It was a guest from, okay, so maybe she's going to call back in. It looks like she's trying to call back in. But the last, the guest that happened last time, maybe we could guess. We could have an intuitive moment and guess. The last one was from California, and I had mentioned something about the weather, and perhaps it started raining, and there she is. But he had said, the guest had said that a lightning strike had hit his cell tower. So let's see what happened to Kate. Are you there, Kate?
I am here. Can you hear me now?
Yes, and I was just telling a story to the listeners about the last time that this happened. Did you hear what I said?
I did. I actually was able to hear you, but you couldn't hear me, so I hung up and called back again.
Oh, well, good. Well, good. Here we are. Here we are.
Here
so
we are.
My first question for you, if you're ready to go, is I would like you to inform our listeners a little bit about what it would mean if you asked somebody, are you on a spirit walk? Because I love that. Can you give us some more about what that is?
I'd love to. When I think of a spirit walk, I think of the people that are here who have become aware of the fact that they are more than just their ordinary lives and their ordinary personalities, and that they are actually spirit here in a body to have an experience. And spirit walk is the thing we do when we are consciously doing that.
Ooh.
So it is, yeah, it's becoming aware that it's not just, you know, the normal, quote-unquote, things of life, even though those always continue to go on, but it's a little bit more. It's the relationship to everything here on the planet. It's the relationship to ourselves with the universe. And it's the living as if all of that mattered. And if we were, which I believe we are, all in unity anyway, we are all in a oneness and we're all walking this spirit walk together, whether we're conscious of it or not.
Okay. That was the next question I was going to ask you, is this an aspect of conscious awareness, and you might have just answered that it sounds like it could be either.
Yeah, I believe that it definitely is. It's what we do when we awaken, when we begin to realize that, in my belief system anyway, we design these lives and we design these bodies and we have an original blueprint that we wanted to follow. Now, what usually happens is we get off of that track somewhere after birth. For some
yeah, right.
For some later. But and we begin to get programmed, because that's what social animals do. The social animal consciousness is to program our young ones to be able to be whatever they are. The mother cat will program her kitten to know how to be a cat, how to hunt, how to wash herself, how to chase something down, how to climb a tree. And humans are no different. We want our children to be able to fit in. But as that begins happening, our parents are inadvertently programming us for their version of what the world is. And
sure.
Yeah, and that information probably came originally from their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents, etc.
Uh-huh.
So we don't
yeah.
really have the chance. Spirit walk is about how do we discover the world really is to us? What is the reality that we want to experience? What is it that we want to do? What do we want to create? And how do we want to be together with what I call the sacred other, or the I and thou, honoring that every other being on the planet is part of this greater whole.
Oh, right. I love that. I love that. Let me take a segue off the blueprint concept. I use that as well when I'm helping clients. Is I kind of use an analogy, and then tell me if you do anything of the like here, since you and I have such a wonderfully similar background, is I explain to them that they do come in with the blueprint, and that I believe there's some course, and this is a $20 million philosophical question, is that there's a course between destiny and free will. And I put destiny in the blueprint, say, okay, you've got a certain genetic predisposition, you have a thus and such disposition. But then you have things within the blueprint, or even not on the blueprint, that perhaps you have a free will to change or maneuver a little bit more than you would, you know, a very specific genetic code, which I don't know that I'd recommend anybody trying to change, because it just may never happen. So tell me about if you have a similar philosophy or offshoot of this.
Yeah, I sure do. The original blueprint is what we, like, if you can imagine, we're on this threshold in between our last life and our current life, because I do work with reincarnation. I do work with the idea that we keep coming back to learn things. And so
sure.
Our blueprint is what we wanted to learn, to accomplish, to experience, the old soul friends we wanted to meet up with, the relationships that we wanted to have. And in that, I agree, there's some original setting up even of the DNA patterns, the body patterns. However, when we're making these plans, we're doing it in that place of not totally remembering what it was like to have a body and to have emotions and to have a personality and then to have all these other people around you had bodies and personalities. And so we may get here and we may feel like, okay, this isn't quite it. I want to adjust this. And we are always free to do that. It's our creation. If we have made agreements that are no longer working for us,
sure,
we can change those agreements. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I love that, adjust it. I think that'll help the listeners as well. Every time I do this show, I'm just, I don't know how or why, but it does, it always reminds me about kind of where the world is and what kind of news we turn on and where resources are and what people's mindset is. And I just appreciate you using this word, as simple as it is, that perhaps we do have some ability to adjust it to the way that we want, and we're not taken over by social norms or outside influences that would steer us in a way that, you know, is unfulfilling to us. So I just want to I want to put down there that I think just invaluable for the work that you and I do to let people know, you know, that we don't have to get lost in the computers necessarily, you know, and so lost that we can't get in touch with who it is that we think we should be. So
exactly.
Let's use that, right? Let's use that to segue right into intuition, which is what you and I do. And you and I have a tiny bit of a perhaps different take on that, and I think that'll be some juicy conversation for the show today. So tell me about how intuition plays into this sort of topic that we're on right here.
Well, in my worldview, and I think that, you know, none of us can claim that we know the truth, and I certainly, it's the world according to Kate here, but in my worldview, I believe that what we call intuition or clairvoyance or clairaudience or our psychic abilities, you know, ESP, whatever people want to call it, is actually it's our soul sense. It's the spiritual sense that we have, and we have it because we are connected to everything else. So in quantum physics, they talk about quantum entanglement, and once two protons or photons have been introduced to each other, they can never not be influenced by each other. So we have this as we come in as spirit in a body, and we come in to these bodies, we have this intuition. Now, it's available to everyone. However, because of that programming that happens, a lot of times it gets programmed out of us. As a child, we may have been quite intuitive, but someone really didn't like the fact that we were. They didn't like us having our own information and knowing what we know, and so they would say to us, "Well, you can't possibly know that. You're making it up. You know, just be quiet. You know, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Whatever it might
right.
be. We've all had that experience, and so it
right.
shuts down, and it can shut down quite thoroughly, and so that it's really hard for people to be in touch with it and remember that indeed they do have this ability."
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is interesting. The soul and the spiritual sort of intuitive sense to me almost sounds like a sixth sense that perhaps everyone has access to, that I'm guessing is a top chakra higher intuition that's outside of us. What do you think of that?
Well, I believe, yes, that is part of it. There is that higher chakra intuition. But I also have found, and I'm sure that you have in some version for yourself, that there's also that body intuition. There's what the cells know. So I think that we're kind of a whole package when it comes to intuition. Now, being able, I guess when I'm talking about, you know, the body intuition, it goes as basic as everyone has had a hunch. You know, there's
no
person on the planet who hasn't walked out the door, you know, on a sunny day thinking, I ought to take my umbrella, and not done it because it was sunny and that's just silly. And then later it's pouring down rain and they wish they'd listened. I don't think there's a person on the planet that hasn't had something along those lines happen. And then there's the higher intuition where we're more connected in a, I want to call it like a direct knowingness kind of way with other beings, whether it's other people or animals or whatever it might be. And that could be more of the higher chakra function that you were talking about. So I think our whole body, you know, sometimes our bodies will go into fear before our brains or our eyes or even our higher intuition has registered what we maybe should be afraid of, because the body has that wisdom.
Sure. Yes. So now this makes me think of, I like this a lot. Now I'm thinking about higher intuition versus, I'm going to call it own intuition. And I don't know if this is the same or different than what we just spoke about, which is I would see the higher intuition as the top chakra of intuition sort of outside of yourself or soul or spirit or higher good or whatever people subscribe to. And then I'm thinking that perhaps there is an own or self intuition that comes through what they call in India the third eye, or the eye of intuition that's for yourself, that's most not connected necessarily to something outside yourself, but to something completely inside yourself. Now, is this the same as what you're talking about the hunch, or is this different?
You know, my honest answer has to be, I'm not entirely sure. I read something one time that makes total sense to me, and so I want to offer this as a possible answer to that. And you know, I think maybe what we're trying to reach here is there an intuition that is of the spirit self versus that intuition that is of the body self. And what I read was it was in a book by Jeremy Narby called The Cosmic Serpent. And what he learned is that with DNA, and that's the DNA of all living things, so anything out there that has actual DNA, DNA at the where the little rungs connect on that little twisted ladder that they always show us, at those rungs, the DNA is constantly putting out a photon burst, and it's putting it out in some kind of language. And the scientists know this, and their question always was, who in the heck is it talking to? And what,
I love that.
Clearly, our DNA
right.
is trying to get something across. And what Jeremy Narby, through his studies with some of the Amazon shamans, has come to is that our DNA is actually always communicating with all of the other DNA around us. But then we have these brains that don't know how to unscramble it. And I think that's where the intuition comes in and why sometimes the body knows things. We have that body sense and that body feeling, that body intuition that knows things that the brain doesn't quite get. Because it doesn't remember. I think my belief is once upon a time, human beings knew how to utilize this and that the shamans still do. And they do their rituals, they go into trance, they shapeshift, they do whatever they are going to do to be able to communicate with other species. And with nature herself, with the world, with the plants. So I think that that's also happening, and maybe our ability to interpret that doesn't really even lie in the brain, but with the connection between that DNA language and spirit. So it could be that spirit is actually our interpreter of that. I don't know, but it's a concept that I play with a lot.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. I love the explanation of sort of body versus spirit self intuition. I think that's wonderful. And you mentioned something also about plants. And I had a guest on a couple of weeks ago, and he was teaching us that, as we know on a surface level, that all of the plants talk to each other. And we see it. You know, we see it in disease, or we see it in the leaves falling and that kind of thing. But I think it's a little more difficult to see our DNA, my DNA talking to your DNA, right?
Right.
So this brings me to the wonderful thing that you do is you teach classes and how to kind of tap into this. Let's tell the listeners where that occurs or how they can get in touch with you and what those are about.
Okay. I teach a method that I call psychic freedom. And it is a specific meditation and also you could call it tools or exercises that are actually designed to help get rid of anything that blocks your intuition. When I first begin to teach people about their intuition, what I'm going to be teaching them is how do you let go of everything that blocks it, all the programming that says you can't do it, all the belief systems, you know, everything that gets in there. And the method that I teach is actually a method that's being taught all over the world and was originally developed by Lewis Boswick, who started the Berkeley Psychic Institute. And then a lot of students from Berkeley Psychic Institute from back in the 60s and 70s have gone on to open their own centers, their own teaching facilities all over the world. I learned this method in Boulder at a facility called Psychic Horizons. I want to make clear that I did not develop the particular tools, but I became a teacher at Psychic Horizons and taught there and taught adjunct programs for a long time. And I also am teaching at a center that's actually down in Brazil. I'm also teaching there. So this is the method that I use. Now, I am not currently doing in-person classes as far as like face-to-face in a room in a class. What I do offer from time to time, and I put it up on my website when I do, which is www.spiritwalk.info, like information, info. I do offer teleclasses. I'm going to be branching out into webinars. I have not yet, but I'm learning about them and learning how to do them. And then I also have designed a home study called the Psychic Freedom Home Study, and it's a series of about 6 hours of audio materials, plus a workbook, plus access to a community Facebook page where other students can talk to each other and share experiences, etc. So going to my website and looking for the home study and looking also at the classes tab will get you to the next offering that I have.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So you answer the question, which is you can do this long distance. That's correct, right?
Yes, absolutely. You can do it long distance.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, then I've also got your information. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say I also offer private lessons, like private tutoring, and there is a page for that as well. And on that page, I go further than just the psychic freedom class. I do teach people how to do psychic reading and healing, and then there's also a program that is like an advanced clearing of the energy field, like an apprenticeship type program of just continued clearing and continued learning and going deeper into, the psychic teachings or the clairvoyant teachings, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Well, I want to thank you so much, Kate, for being my guest. We have like 1 minute and 20 seconds of radio time, so I'm going to... There goes the Blog Talk Radio chick. She sounds like no one can hear that but you and I. She sounds like she's from Australia, but at any rate. Kate's website is spiritwalk.info, I-N-F-O. And I want to thank you once again, Kate. This has been fabulous, and I hope lots of people can connect with you and I, and we can do something in the world that is not on the news, except it's on the printing show because it's good. So,
yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You. Thank you once again for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Namaste.
Namaste.
And there we go. We got about 30 seconds left of our radio time. I'm just going to close out the show and thank my guest, Kate. That was so fabulous. And I want to thank Blog Talk Radio, who gives us this platform to spread good news and help people and do something that's not on CNN. And so I will be streaming this show at 4:30 precisely 20 seconds from now on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, and perhaps on my website, perhaps on Kate's. Kate's website again is spiritwalk.info. My website is theprintingmethod.com. So connect with either Kate or myself. I hope you enjoy the show and look for us again next Wednesday, same time, same place.